The former commander of all of the Army's Green Berets, as well as the Special Warfare Center and School, also Deputy Undersecretary of Defense for Intelligence for his last 4 years after 36 years in the Army, and an ordained minister. We are talking to Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin, also the Executive Vice President of the Family Research Council. Jeez, Jerry, I wish you would have done something with your life. I want to turn our attention over to our enemies here for a second, because you do talk about this in that letter from the flag officers that you released yesterday or the day before. We have the hit on the Colonial Pipeline. We believe that Darkside is from Russia. I don't believe you do anything like this on this scale in Russia without Putin at least giving a nod, or somebody saying, yeah, go ahead, you can do that. The president said that this was a private matter and Colonial would have to decide whether they paid the ransom or not. I mean, maybe I've watched too many episodes of 24, but I don't ever remember hearing a president say you can negotiate with terrorists. And isn't this the federal government's primary job, to protect business and people from foreign attacks?
Yes, it is. I came into the counterterrorism business when the Delta Force was created in 1978, and one of the first things that they told us is we do not, as a nation, we do not negotiate or pay ransom with terrorists. And now it is a shock to me to hear this from the president's administration. But look, I will just tell you that this is an attack on our infrastructure. Look at what this is doing to the East Coast of the United States. Mm-hmm. And if that is not a significant attack on America, then I don't know exactly what it is.
So I don't know. You're an expert in these things. But if it were directly tied to the Kremlin, wouldn't this be an act of war?
Oh, I think it would. And we have to get used to the fact that we are seeing war in a different way than what we have seen in the past. We've got to look at cyber attacks as being part of an attack on America that affects everybody.
It wasn't, three summers ago that Putin said, I don't know what I have to say to you, your European leaders. He was talking to the press. But we're already in war, and it's being fought with ones and zeros.
Yeah, he was absolutely on the mark. He's spot on. He's prescient in that statement. And it's sad that we haven't come to grips with that, and we don't understand that yet as a nation. We're still looking for tanks, you know, maneuvering on the battlefield before we're willing to call it a war. No, we're at war. And we're very much at war with China, and have been for some time. And look, we're at war with Iran, and it's in some ways it's a surrogate war. But, you know, we are fighting right now. What you see in Jerusalem right now, what you see all over Israel right now is largely sponsored by, supported by, funded by Iran.
Right.
They're right in the middle of this. And we cannot ignore that. And they're going after our closest ally, probably in the world.
Are they?
Is Israel.
Are they anymore? I mean, Jerry, I've never seen a time where we have been on the wrong side of almost every issue. We are negotiating with with hackers. We're negotiating with the terrorists in Iran. We're standing by why Israel is attacked. We are not doing anything about Russia. China is walking all over us. And our president's son still is taking paychecks from the Communist Party apparatus in China. I mean, who are
absolutely.
We?
What does the world think of us right now? Look, I will tell you this. This is my belief, and I've said this on other programs. I don't believe that we would see the events in Israel right now unfolding if
no way.
Donald Trump was still the president of the United States, because I think he established that he was going to support Israel. And think about this. When he moved the embassy to Jerusalem, he was told by just about every one of his advisors, you're going to start a war, and it's going to be bad. Well, he moved it. And how long did the rioting last there? About 24 hours, and it was over. Now, why do we now have a situation where this is becoming very, very serious there, and we've got probably well over 100 people that are killed, and that information is about 18 hours old right now. And this would not have happened, and it would not have gone on this long. I think that Donald Trump would have immediately stepped out and said to the world, what can I give you, Israel? What do you need?
Yes.
How can we help you protect yourself? Because this whole thing is I think, a test of Joe Biden's leadership.
I think it's not only a test, but it is also a test of the loyalty of those Marxists in our own government as well, who are for all of this stuff. Let me ask you about, we now have a new number of 130 people, far more than what was previously known. We haven't come out with the numbers with CIA. They are supposed to be substantial as well. But somebody has some sort of a ray that was first seen in Cuba. It's now being seen in parts of the United States, all around the world. And it looks like it's tied to Russia. Any idea on the ray gun or whatever it's called or whatever it is that is causing these brain injuries in our spies and diplomats and soldiers?
Well, first of all, this is not new technology, and keep in mind the Chinese have had technology that would actually take out our satellites. They've had that for some time, and one of our big challenges has been trying to defend ourselves against that. But I don't know the details of, nor specifically, where this is coming from, but I guarantee you that this is not something that is being designed and deployed by the evangelical Christians that are supposed to be the biggest domestic threat today. I don't know where it's coming from, but once again, somehow it will wind up being blamed on the very people that that you and I represent.
What do you think of General Lloyd Austin?
Lloyd Austin, I've known him for a long time, and Lloyd was he lived next door to me at Fort Bragg, and he was a friend. And I think Lloyd had a very distinguished career. But I think that Lloyd was not prepared for the politics that he stepped into in Washington. And as far as I am concerned, Lloyd has compromised on issues that he knows are not in the best interest of our nation. And again, this is where I say, when you take time away from the training and the preparation for winning wars, and you go through stuff like critical race theory, you are wasting those soldiers' times that they need to be ready to go prepare for war. And Lloyd Austin is advocating that and pushing that, and I think that's a huge mistake. So I think he's wrong about that, and I think he's gotten caught up in the politics of Washington, and it has had a negative effect on him.
In your opinion, you said earlier that you would walk in and put your stars down on the desk and say, I can't serve this anymore. In your opinion, the brass of the military, not the civil servants, but the actual military, what do you think the percentage is that is at least feeling like this is not right? There's something very wrong here.
Oh, I think that they all know. I'd say to every one of them knows that this is not in the best interest of the military to be off on this tangent that we're on right now and making it a test bed as well as wasting the time on these nonsensical things like critical race theory. I think every one of them knows that. I think they all know that this is not helping our military. But I think that you've got some people in there that are very much on the left side of the political spectrum who are enjoying seeing this happen in spite of the fact that they know that it's not doing anything to make our military more effective on the battlefield.
So does this just continue, or do you expect to see people stand up?
I think you're going to see a quiet exit. I think
that's not helpful, is it?
No, a guy called me yesterday from Kuwait. He said, "I'm over here." He said, he had read the letter, and he called me and he said, "I'm leaving." He said, "I can't take it anymore." He said, "I'm going to help get them out of Afghanistan here, and then I'm done." He said, "This what I am seeing in the military today is not what I signed up for, and I am going to leave." Well, I think you're going to see a lot more of that. I think that the recruiting, go back and look at this recruiting ad, this little cartoon recruiting ad that you and I talked about earlier. And you ask yourself, who is that going to attract? Who is going to be stimulated to want to serve with an ad like that? And I think what you're going to see is not only a quiet exit, but I think you're going to see recruiting really become much more difficult in our military. I think that moms and dads are not going to want Johnny and Janie going into a military like that.
I will tell you, my son has talked about, possibly going into the military. And I'm really torn. I want good people in the military. But I am afraid of what they could easily become.
The military is so critical to this nation. I mean, we wouldn't be a nation if it were not for the young men and women that have signed up, as Isaiah did, and said, "Here am I, send me." But I have to tell you, I've got grandchildren now, and I don't know what I'm going to tell them. I don't want them in this army. I don't want them serving under this commander-in-chief or under the chain of command in our military right now that is standing by and watching the destruction of our military. This is a serious situation, and I'm with you, Clint. I don't know what I'm going to tell them, and I spent 36 and a half years in the military.
Wow. General, I just so love you, and I thank you for your service. I thank you for your willingness to speak out. I thank you for your willingness to speak the words of God as you understand them, and I just think you're a very, very brave patriot, and I thank you for all of your service.
Well, that's very kind of you, Glenn, and I appreciate it, and I appreciate what you're doing and have been doing. And you've been doing this for a long time, so just stay in the fight. We're going to turn this around, but it's going to take all of us working together and being bold enough to not care what people say about us.
Yep.
And you're one of those people.
God bless you, Jerry. Appreciate it.
Now, warm milk sippy cup Joe is floundering tonight in the face of multiple crises. Now, the conditions on the southern border are worsening by the hour. The pipeline cyber attack raises serious questions about real vulnerabilities to our energy and our infrastructure. And what are you going to do with Russia? America's adversaries, like Hamas, they're emboldened, as emboldened as ever. The unholy alliance, Iran, China, Russia, fighting proxy wars, joining forces together. Here at home, it's inflation fears, of course, raising concerns about more economic uncertainty for American workers that don't want to work because they make more staying home. Interest rates, they're about to go through the roof and start climbing, and the stock market is beginning to tank. What's Joe Biden's strategy? To downplay, deflect, not answer questions, not take responsibility, all while surrendering his agenda to the radical new Green Deal socialists and the appeasers of the Middle East. Anyway, here with reaction, he's nationally syndicated radio host of the number one show Sunday night on here on the Fox News Channel, Life, Liberty, and Levin. His new book I have had the pleasure of reading two chapters of it. It's called American Marxism. I'm going to predict it'll be Marx's biggest and most important book ever. It is a book for its time, and if we don't know what we're dealing with and how to find the solutions, we're all in trouble. The great one, Mark Levin, sir. A lot to digest there. I'll let you take it anywhere you want.
You know, Sean, every one of these crises you mentioned were created by Joe Biden. Joe Biden is a human pandemic. That's exactly what he is. From the border to the currency to inflation, the price of food, the price of gasoline, the price of toys and plastics and steel, go right down the list. He has opened the Pandora's box to inflation, and that is a hell of a tough box to shut. But the Democrats are used to these sort of things since they create inflation and recession and depressions all the time, taking our money and money that doesn't even exist and throwing it all over the place to give money to its base as they follow this Marxist ideology of class warfare and oppression, oppressor. I want to talk about Israel for a minute. Donald Trump was the biggest defender of Israel in the history of the Israeli state. Obama and Biden were the worst allies that Israel ever had. And they sided frequently with Israel's enemies. In fact, they cut off the supply of arms to Israel when Israel was under attack at one point. They gave the most heinous speech on their way out against the state of Israel, and they treated the prime minister like crap. Donald Trump changed all that in September. Just 7 or 8 short months ago, peace was breaking out, peace deals were being signed on the south lawn of the White House. Israel was on the precipice of having a peace agreement with Saudi Arabia. Now look, Biden comes in and he has surrounded himself with more Israel haters than there are fans in Yankee Stadium. There are Obamaites and worse. And what do they decide to do? Immediately give hundreds of millions of dollars to the Palestinians, which Trump had cut off, because they wouldn't commit to not using the money for terrorism. What else do they do? They're looking to fund and support the Iranian regime, which is trying to have long-distance missiles with nuclear warheads that can not only hit Israel, but the United States. This Iron Dome stops about 90% of the missiles. Can you imagine if one nuclear missile gets through? Well, our enemies see this. Joe Biden is the greatest president, not for our allies, but for our enemies. Hamas sees it. Islamic Jihad sees it. The Palestinian terrorists see it. That's why they're doing what they're doing. The communist Chinese see it. They thumb their nose at Biden. Putin sees it. They all see it. It's much more dangerous world as a result of Biden being in the Oval Office. He is absolutely pathetic. He's undermined our military. He's undermined law enforcement. The borders are wide open. He's killing the currency. Inflation's going through the roof. He's the Jimmy Carter of our economic... He's the Hugo Chavez of our economic system. His foreign policy is much like Jimmy Carter's foreign policy. Now, I have a question to ask. I have a question for President George W. Bush and Vice President Dick Cheney. Where the hell are you guys? Can't you get the chips off your shoulders? Donald Trump defeated your candidates and defeated your brother fair and square. The American people supported you. Those of us who are watching now, many patriotic Americans, tens of millions, voted for you, supported you. You asked them for your support. They defended you when you came under attack by the same people who attacked Donald Trump. And you have done nothing. You've said nothing about what Joe Biden is doing. Are you not concerned about what Joe Biden and his party is doing in our classrooms and indoctrinating our children, our racism? Are you not concerned about what's going on the border, the drugs, MS-13, the sexual attacks that are going on? Are you not concerned about the efforts to destroy the independence of the judiciary and the Supreme Court? Are you not concerned about their efforts to pack the Senate for all time, to undermine the Electoral College? Are you not concerned about their effort to steal our electoral system so Democrats can't win, can't lose any time in our history? Where are you, George W. Bush? Where are you, Dick Cheney? George W. Bush has a big article about how he's best friends with Michelle Obama. Have you read her tweets about how she hates America? Why don't you speak up? And Dick Cheney, with all due respect, I supported you. I supported your daughter, of course. Your daughter, does she not see what's going on in this country, that we're facing these forces that seek the destruction of our system, our economic system, our immigration system, that she has such a hate on for Donald Trump and Donald Trump's supporters? that they had to remove her as the third top Republican in the Republican leadership because she wasn't leading? This Never Trumper crap has to stop. You Never Trumpers, you left-wing Democrats, and of course the media and the rest, you brought us to this point. This country was flying high. The economy was turning around. The borders were secure. Our military was being reinforced. Our cops were respected. Everything that could go wrong is going wrong. Not because of nature, not because these things are just happening, but because the Democrat Party is ruining this country, and the guy in the Oval Office is ruining this country. One final word to you, Joe Biden. The Israelis have been hit with 1,500 missiles produced by the Iranians. They're aiming at their population centers, whereas the Israelis are trying not to. And the best you can say, Joe Biden, is the Israelis have the right to defend themselves. The Israelis don't need you, who've been in Washington for half a century, to tell them that they have a right to defend themselves. The Jews have been defending themselves for 4,000 years without your permission. Why don't you state out front tomorrow, we stand with our ally Israel and against the terrorists who are shooting missiles against them. Why don't you tell Tlaib and Omar and AOC in your party, these anti-Semite Marxists, why don't you lecture them about what they're having to say and so forth? Where is the Democrat Party today? You're destroying America. You're undermining our ally. And let me say it again. If Donald Trump were president, none of this would be happening. I'm done.
Mark's new book coming out soon, American Marxism, Amazon.com. If you want a first-run edition, Mark's show, Life, Liberty, Levin, this Sunday, 8 o'clock. Don't miss. Great one. Thank you. Good evening and welcome to Tucker Carlson Tonight. A lot of unprecedented things happening, but honestly, not all of them are shocking. For example, it probably shouldn't surprise you that once they got their hands on real power, the same lunatics who don't believe in human biology immediately made a serious mess of our economy. It took them less than 6 months to do it. First, they acted like the U.S. dollar had no value. They spent money like they just printed it for the occasion, which, needless to say, they had. And predictably, we wound up with frightening levels of inflation, which, for the record, they still deny exists. But inflation does exist, as you know well if you live here. Corn prices, to name just one example of a staple commodity that is now out of control, have risen by 50% just since January. But that wasn't bad enough. The lunatics then decided to make it even worse than that. So they paid millions of Americans more than they make at work just to stay home and do nothing. To justify doing this, they used the word COVID quite a bit, but it had nothing to do with the pandemic. They just wanted to break the system, and so they did. And the rest of us immediately wound up with a bewildering combination of rising unemployment in the middle of a severe labor shortage. So at the very same time, we found ourselves with too many workers and also too few workers. That doesn't even make sense. But thanks to their policies, that's now exactly what we have. And then finally, in case 2021 didn't remind you enough of a grimmer version of the 1970s, we now have serious gas shortages in a country that was recently energy independent. All along the east coast of the country today, people couldn't fill up their cars. Take a look at the footage. It looks like Venezuela.
Gas shortages now being reported in at least six states and expected to grow, stretching down the highways as customers wait at the pumps. The governor of North Carolina has declared a state of emergency. The station there running out of fuel.
As pumps run dry and officials urge drivers not to panic buy.
We are completely out of diesel and gas.
But already long lines and low fuel gauges.
The shutdown of the pipelines also putting major airports in Baltimore, Charlotte, and others on the East Coast at risk of low supply.
An emergency? No. If they ran out of weed, that would be an emergency. Don't worry, says the New York Times. None of this is real. It's a conspiracy theory. Your eyes are lying to you. You're hysterical. In a piece today, the New York Times reported that, quote, since the pipeline shutdown, there have been no long lines at gas stations. Then apparently someone in the New York Times newsroom found a working television and the paper deleted that line from the article a few hours later without ever acknowledging it had included the line in the first place. That was the paper. But for their readers on social media, who presumably will believe absolutely anything, the New York Times did not even bother to change the lie. That tweet is still up. Quote,
Since the shutdown, there have been no long lines or major price hikes for gasoline. Right, none at all. Except in the state of Georgia, where as of 3 p.m. this afternoon, almost 6% of all gas stations had no gasoline. In Virginia, that number was almost 8% of all gas stations. In North Carolina, it was 8.5%. In Metro Atlanta, the biggest city in the South, more than 20% of all gas stations, more than a fifth, had no gasoline to sell. That is an energy crisis. Why is it happening? Well, the official explanation is that some mysterious gang of cyber criminals hacked the software at a major American fuel supplier called Colonial Pipeline. Colonial Pipeline handles more than 2 million barrels a day. That's roughly half the East Coast's entire supply of diesel, gasoline, and jet fuel. And that's not a small problem in a country, like every country on Earth, that still relies almost entirely on fossil fuels to survive. But don't worry, says her new energy secretary, Jennifer Granholm, formerly the incompetent governor of Michigan, quote, it's not that we have a gasoline shortage. It's that we have the supply crunch. Oh, it's a supply crunch. And that's very different from a shortage, at least in some theoretical way that's important to Jennifer Granholm. So what is the White House doing about this supply crunch that is not a shortage? Well, here's the answer from Ann Neuberger, who is the confirmed non-genius who somehow serves as the deputy national security advisor for cyber and emerging technologies.
So first, we recognize that victims of cyber attacks often face a very difficult situation, and they have to just balance often the cost-benefit when they have no choice with regard to paying a ransom. Colonial is a private company and will defer information regarding their decision on paying a ransom to them.
Would the administration offer any advice on whether or not to pay a ransom?
So typically that is a private sector decision, and the administration has not offered further advice at this time. Given the rise in ransomware, that is one area we're definitely looking at now to say what should be the government's approach to ransomware actors and to ransoms overall.
That's the person protecting you from the cyber criminals. Colonial Pipeline, Ann Neuberger would like to remind you, is a, quote, private company. And as a matter of principle, the White House does not get involved in the affairs of private companies, not unless private companies were to use the wrong pronoun in a sentence, in which case the FBI would arrive with a SWAT team and make televised arrests. But in cases where the mere fuel supply of the entire Eastern Seaboard is at stake, Ann Neuberger and her friends at the White House strongly prefer a hands-off approach. They're situationally libertarian that way. What is this about? Well, you know, on some level, let's be honest about it, the White House approves of this disaster. Yes, some gas stations are closed tonight, but soon enough, the lunatics plan to close all of them, close every gas station in the entire United States, shuttered forever, to make way for some new, as yet not quite defined, means of transportation that will magically replace the gasoline engines that we have used for more than 100 years. This is a green revolution, so who cares about some old pipeline? Remember that on his first day in office, Joe Biden shut down a pipeline. That's the first thing he did. It was the massive Keystone XL pipeline. Joe Biden didn't wait for mysterious hackers to shut it down. He shut it down himself, and more than 11,000 people lost their jobs. And by the way, gas prices went up. In case you haven't noticed, gas prices have never gone down. In the state of California, the average price of a gallon of gasoline is over $4. A year ago, it was $2.70. In Illinois, gas is $3.20 a gallon. Last year, it was $2.10. It's not just two big liberal states, it's the entire country. In Texas, gas prices are averaging $2.70 a gallon. Last year, it was $1.50. In the state of Maine, the average price of gas is almost $3. A year ago, it was under $2, and so on. Nationally, Americans are paying about $45 billion more for gasoline overall than they were last year. Why? This is the result of policy decisions made by the new administration. This is the Green New Deal. We've got it already. And if you love gas shortages and electricity blackouts, no air conditioning, $80 plywood, this is the program for you. Tomorrow, the administration's Bureau of Labor Statistics will release the new official numbers on inflation in America. You should know that a key part of that statistic is called the Consumer Price Index. And the Consumer Price Index measures the prices of a carefully curated selection of goods and services. And if tomorrow's Consumer Price Index number is flat, rest assured the people on TV will tell you it is proof that inflation isn't real. Should you believe them? Well, before you take their word, Take note of what is not included in the official consumer price index. Lumber, for example, because no one in America buys building materials. So you should definitely ignore this.
In a recent study by Fortune.com, the average price of lumber is now 280% higher than what it was pre-pandemic, which is causing the cost of construction to also increase 30 to 40%. In a statement from the division president for Homes by Town, Jeff Pemstein, he says for a typical 1,500 square foot home, just rough lumber used for framing has increased from $14,000 per home to $29,000.
280% up. Wow, Marge, that's a lot. What's going on here? Well, typically in the material world where the laws of nature apply, when the price of something jumps that quickly and that high, you've got a supply problem because it's supply and demand. There just isn't enough of that thing to go around. More people want it and we don't have enough of it. Does that apply to lumber? Are there fewer spruce trees out there than there were a year ago? Are those trees growing more slowly than they once did? Have we seen a 280% increase in new houses being built? The answer is no, no, and no. The real answer, as you may have guessed, is that bad federal policies are distorting the price of everything in this country, from 2x4s to diesel fuel to corn dogs. None of this is an accident, just as it wasn't an accident when the power went out in Texas over the winter. It wasn't a cold snap that did it. It was a federal policy that encouraged the state to rely on windmills, which don't actually work. So it's not a natural cycle. Somebody did this to us on purpose.
Hey, Sean Hannity here. Hey, click here to subscribe to Fox News YouTube page and catch our hottest interviews and most compelling analysis. You will not get it anywhere else.
Gender, not even real. Or
biological sex. Whose idea was that?
You may have thought that basic science / I having informed you that male and female are genuine distinct categories.
But alas, you're an idiot.
Until recently, science told us that men had
Y chromosome,
male genitalia,
the ability to get women pregnant,
the blame for everything that ever goes wrong. And women had
X chromosome,
female genitalia,
baby in her tummy,
and lots to complain about. But all of this can be thrown out. Why? Well, first and foremost, those last things on each list were stereotypes I wrote as a joke, so let's just examine the first three. Some men lose their anatomy, and they're still men. Also, some women are infertile, but they don't stop being female. Also, there are chromosomal abnormalities, which result in a person not having the usual XX or XY chromosome pair. Therefore, gender isn't real and everyone can go home. That's right, not every man is identical to every other man, and not every woman is identical to every other woman. Therefore, sex is a meaningless category which will only be done away with when we finally overthrow men. This is how definitions work. For example, you may think a dog is different from a human because they walk on four legs, are less cognitively sophisticated than us, and don't use toilets. But guess what? Some dogs have two legs, and in California, humans don't use toilets either. I found some exceptions to the rule of a limited definition, so I guess the differences between species is a social construct after all. And what about intersex people? They prove that sex exists on a spectrum, because the word spectrum means everyone falls into two categories except for a handful of infinitesimally rare exceptions. But wait, you may be asking, I thought sex was defined as that procreative act between a man and woman, and that we label people male or female because their role in this act, or their sex, affects their role within the family and thus society, given that both institutions are literally built atop the sexual act. And isn't this a concrete fact which is totally unthreatened by some people's subjective view of themselves as being assigned the wrong gender? And to that I say, shut up! The facts are clear! Biological sex is a social construct created by men! And one day women are going to rise up against this tyrannical male oppression! And then us girls will finally be in charge! So you had better watch out with your arbitrary categorization of nonsense that doesn't exist! Or us polygender asexual interpangea demimors will beat you senseless for not memorizing all of the new pronouns we just made up!
Hey folks, thank you so much for watching. If you enjoyed this cartoon, please like, share, subscribe, leave a comment below, and donate at patreon.com/freedomtunes to help us make more. Thank you.